It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. There has been a push to streamline the development process for projects in Tuolumne County. We're going to hear about it this morning from Quincy Yaley. She is the Community Development Director for Tuolumne County. Quincy, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thank you, BJ. Good morning.
So this project and effort is called Title 17, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so what exactly is Title 17 and how did you get that title for it?
Sure. So Title 17 refers to a chapter in our local ordinance code. The local ordinance code is the rules and regulations that govern what we can do here and around the county. And there's various chapters. Some deal with fire codes or building codes, road standards. Title 17 is the chapter that addresses the zoning code, and it talks about what people can do on their property, what they can build, where they can build it, and what a process would be for getting any sort of use permits or site development permits that might need Planning Commission or Board of Supervisor approval.
Got it. So what would you say are kind of the goals of the project?
The biggest goal of the project is to implement the general plan. If the folks remember, in 2019, Tuolumne County updated the county's general plan. The general plan is the constitution for our local government. It contains policies and implementation programs about how all parts of local government should happen. And so in that document that was approved in 2019, it made a number of recommendations that needed to be implemented in the zoning code, so specifically for land use. And so the main goal of this project is to take those recommendations and implement them through the zoning code. Other goals of the project include to update our code to ensure that it's consistent with state and federal law. We also want to update the document to create a standard, transparent, and predictable process for builders or developers who are coming through asking for permission to build new commercial projects or new housing developments. We also want to make sure that we're responding to concerns that we hear from our community members about ways that the process can be improved to improve transparency or their participation. And lastly, we really want to be promoting infill and mixed-use development in the county. That is really development where we have existing infrastructure and services.
So when again did this project and effort all kind of start?
Kicked off in 2019. We had some slowdowns there with some other county priorities, but we're finally getting it to a point where we've got our final drafts available to the public. We hired a consultant to assist us in this process. We have had meetings over the years, about 10 public meetings with different committees, the Board of Supervisors, our planning commissioners. We did also put drafts out to the public maybe 2 years ago, and we received comments on those. So we're now taking all of that. We've incorporated it into our final drafts that are available for public comment.
Can you explain a little bit more about kind of the overview of the project?
The project has a couple of important components. One is that we've reorganized the document to improve clarity and transparency. This is a big thing for people who may want to come in and just get specific information about opening a specific kind of business, building something on their residential lot. We've got a table of contents that is much more clear, and you can use that to find the rules that are applicable to your project or your property. Another important part that this code update contains is updating the definitions of different land uses in the county. We get calls from property owners or potential property owners who say, I'd like to build a certain project. And the code was originally adopted in the 1970s. It has been updated over the years in small pieces, but a lot of contemporary land uses are missing. We get a lot of questions about things like camping or other recreational businesses or other new visitor-serving businesses. Those things have been missing in the code, which makes it challenging for our staff and for the property owners to understand how to process it. We've also updated development standards for all of our zoning districts. Zoning districts might be residential, they could be commercial, industrial. So the development standards that we've updated are relating to setbacks, heights, accessory structures. We have a whole new section on garages. It doesn't sound very exciting, but actually building a garage in Tuolumne County can be very difficult because of our slopes. And so we have a new set of rules that will allow garages to be built on steeper slopes in a way that we think is going to make it easier for homeowners. Some of the other changes we've made, like I mentioned, is including new and sometimes continuing rules for certain land uses. This could be things like accessory dwelling units, automobile or vehicle sales services, drive-through facilities, farmers markets, restaurants that may want to do outdoor dining or seating, electric vehicle charging stations, solar energy systems, and temporary uses. So we took into account what the general plan directed us to do, what we were hearing from the public has been challenging to do, and also you relied on our staff to help improve the process.
You know, getting a little bit off topic here, but you mentioned garages. You know, if people just had an open piece of land, they wanted to add a garage, how big of a process is it to actually add one?
So they just would need to come in and get a building permit. You don't have to have a single family home on your property if you want to get a garage. The code right now allows garages to be in certain places depending on the elevation. And as we go up in elevation, they can be closer to that front property line. This is to help with snow removal. This has been a really great tool for residents who are in our snow country. But we get a lot of people who have really steep lots, even down in our lower elevation. Those tend to be the lots that aren't built on right now because it can be cost prohibitive. But by allowing things to move closer to the road, it reduces construction costs. And so we've taken sort of the rules that we've had that apply to up in our higher elevations and applied them down in lower elevations and using slope to determine where things should be built rather than just elevations.
So getting back to Title 17 and the changes, how are accessory dwelling units handled with the code?
Accessory dwelling units, we get lots of questions about accessory dwelling units. People wanting to convert outbuildings on their property or even convert their garages or building new ones. And there's a lot of buzz in the state and in the media about accessory dwelling units. So we have an existing set of rules that covers accessory dwelling units, are also known as ADUs. And the ADU laws are constantly changing from the state. And so we're updating our code to bring our existing ADU regulations into conformance with the state law. Right now, you can get, in general, depending on your zoning district, but most zoning districts get one accessory dwelling unit and what is called a junior accessory dwelling unit. A junior ADU is smaller in size. The regular ADU is up to 1,200 square feet. And so people can build an ADU on their property and an accessory dwelling unit on their property. We really encourage you to come in and talk to us because lot configuration and your lot size and your lot layout really feeds into the equation of what you can build and where. Also, whether or not you're on a septic system or on public utilities, that also feeds into it. But ADUs create a lot of confusion in the public, and so the new ordinance includes some graphics to help demonstrate what is allowed and where it can be built on the lot. Also, how you would go about converting, like I said, outbuildings or garages into ADUs. ADUs can be a really great way for people to provide additional housing in their, on their existing lot. And our department has recently committed to a 5-day turnaround for those types of building permits. So if you want to build an ADU, whether it's stick-built or whether it's a prefab home, we will review those plans with fire and public works and the survey division, the building division and planning. We'll review those in 5 days. We're really committed to getting that type of housing product through the department and out very quickly to the public.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Quincy Yaley. She is the Community Development Director in Tuolumne County, talking about a push that the Community Development Department and the county as a whole is doing when it comes to streamlining the review process for development projects, getting an update from her on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Tuolumne County Community Development Director Quincy Yaley on this weekend show. Tuolumne County is making a push to streamline some of the processes when it comes to development projects, specifically in relation to a project called Title 17. Director Yaley is getting us up to speed on all the details. You know, can you go into a little bit more just in regards to some of the key changes with this code that's being proposed?
Sure. I'll break it down sort of by zoning type, and I can start with residential or housing. I mentioned it a little bit before, but this code really streamlines housing development and permitting so that we can get those units out and to be built faster. Specifically, the code is going to be streamlining multi-unit development. So this would be triplexes, quadplexes, or more. Those projects that are being proposed on properties that are already zoned for multi-unit housing or multi-family housing that have the right zoning and the right general plan, we're going to be implementing a process of objective design standards. But if a project is going to meet the zoning land use requirements specifically for multi-unit housing, those projects are going to be going straight to the building permit. Another change that staff is proposing is to allow that multi-unit residential housing to go into some of our commercial zoning districts. This would allow existing commercial buildings to be reused and repurposed into housing, and could also allow new construction to happen in our commercial zoning districts. We did a project last year that a lot of people were very interested in. This was when the Twain Hart Shopping Center was proposing to convert some of those existing commercial buildings into housing. With the proposals that we're making right now, it would have streamlined that process and shortened the review time. Another big change is being proposed is to allow increased in density in our single-family zoning districts. So this would now go, instead of just being able to build one primary unit on your property, you'd be able to build two. That might sound a little scary, where all of a sudden people might be thinking that everyone's going to be able to build two units on their single family lots. But there's other controls that are going to be in place, such as how much of a lot that you can cover with a structure, that we think will protect that neighborhood quality and neighborhood characteristics from becoming overcrowded. And lastly, on the housing, we've got new provisions for seasonal or resident employee housing. We hear this from our community members that as resorts are planned or getting built, and even with existing resorts in the area, that there's a lack of housing for employees. And so there's some new allowances in the code for existing hotels or other existing structures to be converted into seasonal housing. This is just something that wasn't very clear in our current code, and so we're proposing some new language to improve that. In terms of commercial development, we have some changes to our sign ordinance. We've got a lot of clarity coming for specific land uses, and we've got clarity coming for people who want to do camping on their property, where they can and can't do that. And we're also proposing to streamline some small commercial development projects. These would be very small commercial development projects that already had access to utilities like public water or public sewer, that were not adjacent to residential zoning districts. They would essentially need to not have or lack endangered species or significant amount of oak trees. And they would also need to have access to maintained roadways. So that is a way that we think we can help with economic development for small appropriate projects. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hear the phrase objective design standards mentioned sometimes in relation to this project. What can you tell us about those?
So objective design standards, this is something new that our code is proposing. And it's new to us, but not new to the world of zoning and land use planning. Objective design standards are, it's like design review, and it's going to apply to a broader range of projects than just our current design review process. It's a standalone document that's going to allow builders to have a predictable and easy way to understand for how to lay out projects and how they should look. We're going to use this process so that we can maintain the scenic and historical character of our communities, but also allow for streamlining of appropriate projects. So you might think about projects like in Twainard or Tuolumne. New projects are going to be required to incorporate the community characteristics that may be on buildings or in landscaping into new projects. So it's a streamlining tool, but it also is required to use attributes of a surrounding community into a new project.
So you've given us kind of a great overview of the process here and what Title 17 is. You know, how does it go from A to B and actually streamline development?
So it really starts by looking at a specific piece of property and what the zoning is. For housing, like I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the general plan and the zoning. And if it has the right general plan and the right zoning, it's going to be able to go to the building permit. Streamlining small commercial projects will also allow it to go to the building permit. Projects before they go to building permits sometimes can take 6, 8, or 12 months to get through the planning system. And we think that by streamlining certain projects that are in the right location with the right zoning will have a big impact on economic development in the county. It's important to know that a streamlined review does not mean no review. A lot of the things that we would have done sort of on a project before it went to a building permit are now just being moved into the building permit review process, like looking at a parking or drainage, lighting or landscaping. We're going to be doing that in the building permit process rather than in a discretionary review process.
And so does this all go, this project, go through an environmental review?
It does. Some of your listeners might be familiar with the state environmental review process. That is called the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. This project is required to have a CEQA review. And there's a process in CEQA that allows you to use previously prepared CEQA documents and essentially tier from those if the project was within the scope of that original document. So in the beginning, we talked about the general plan being a driver of this project. We are intending to use a process that allows us to use that EIR that we did for the general plan back in 2019 to cover the impacts from this project. So there's not a public review period that people might be familiar with in terms of like reviewing an EIR, but there is an environmental document. It's not available yet. We hope to have it out on our to the public on Monday. And so there'll be time for the public to review it. It's a much shorter document than people are used to reviewing in an EIR. But the project will go through that environmental review, and that will need to be adopted by the board if the project is approved.
Yeah, so for those interested, stay tuned and keep a close eye on Monday. You know, what are the types of things that this project does not affect or not cover?
It's important for people to know that this is, while it's a very big and broad project, it doesn't change anything such as building standards, like through our building permit process. It doesn't impact any septic or well permits or permits that you might need through fire or public works. If you could build a single family dwelling on your property right now, if this project is approved, you can still build a single family dwelling on your property. It's important to know that it's not rezoning anyone's physical property. So if you're zoned commercial or you're zoned industrial or you're zoned residential, this is not changing that designation. But it may change the process that you would need to go through if you needed to do something that needed a special approval from the county. It may change that, but it won't change that you can do housing or that you can do commercial development on your property.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Quincy Yaley, Tuolumne County Community Development Director, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She's talking about a notable project, a Title 17 update, a project that's in regards to streamlining the development process in Tuolumne County. We'll hear more about that in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about an effort to streamline development in Tuolumne County, a Title 17 project, joined on the show by Quincy Yaley. She is the Community Development Director for Tuolumne County. And this Title 17 project, this went before the Planning Commission this past week, correct?
It did. On March 6th, we took the project to the Planning Commission. It was really just an opportunity to introduce the document, explain its organization, kind of a little bit what we've done here today, what it does do, what it doesn't cover, get some initial questions from the public that we know you're going to need to clarify. We do plan on coming back to the Planning Commission on March 20th. That's at 6 p.m. in the Board of Supervisors chambers. We're hoping that at that meeting we can answer any further questions that the public or the Planning Commission may have, and that then they would be making a recommendation to move this project forward to the Board of Supervisors. We've tentatively have that meeting scheduled on April 9th, and so those are all public meetings that people can attend. If you want to view the draft documents, you can go to the county webpage, type in the phrase Title 17, and it'll take you right to those draft documents. And there's information on that webpage on how to comment on the project.
And then say you run into a situation where a zoning changes and it's for a property that's already in existing use for a structure of this type of business, let's just say, you know, and then the Title 17 has some proposed changes. What does that mean for the existing property?
So that's a great question. We come across this from time to time in with our existing code we have right now. As things have been modified over time, it does sometimes result in a property with a business or a structure that what we call it non-conforming. Those become legal non-conforming uses, and they can continue. There's a process in the code for how small changes can occur on those buildings or those businesses. And so if you are concerned that you might have a business that, if you're reading the code or you're interested, if it would become a legal non-conforming use, just reach out to us and let us know. It's best to handle those on a case-by-case basis so that we can make sure we're giving each property owner the accurate information for their specific land use.
Definitely want to ask you about development projects in the county as well. But before that, is there anything else about Title 17 that's important for the community to know?
I think that I would end the saying that streamlining projects has its place, and it's appropriate for certain kinds of projects in certain places. And I don't want our community to come away with this with a perception that there's not going to be any more review, that there's not going to be any more public input, or anything like that. That you know that the county is just going to be building things everywhere. There's a sweet spot out there in this profession for the appropriate place for public comment and how to use that public comment to make projects better, but also where we can and where public comment has already been received to streamline some housing and some small commercial projects. So I just want the public to understand that just because we're using the word streamline doesn't mean that that's the end of the public's role in the local decision-making process. It really is limited to a few specific projects that we feel can have a positive impact on our community.
You know, getting into some other topics, what would you say are some of the notable projects right now that Community Development Department is reviewing in the county?
The Development Department's really busy. And so I'll cover just a couple of them here, some that have come up that I see the community members in certain geographic areas of our community are really interested in. One is that we recently released some notifications that we have an application for a small concrete batch plant in Columbia. This is in the Springfield Road, Highway 45. 49 area. We've gotten some concerns from residents about impacts from that project. And I just want to let folks know that we appreciate that. We definitely want people to let us know what they're worried about, and that we will be having a public meeting for that process, like a listening session where we can give information about that project and hear concerns. And we plan to do that in April. So just stay tuned. We'll be sure to publicize that through social media and through other media outlets. We also have a project right now to take the Phoenix Lake Golf Course, which has been closed for a number of years, and to change that from a golf course into a vineyard. And then to take the old pro shop, that the building right there, and turn that into a tasting room. So that's going through an environmental review process. We have some projects that are getting ready to come online. A notable project is in the Smith Station Road and 120 area east of Groveland. This is the Firefall Ranch project. They are getting ready to get final building inspections and hoping to open late spring. We're always working on housing issues. We just were at the board talking about short-term rentals or Airbnbs, and plan to do some more investigation about the positive things that those types of businesses have on our community, as well as some of the challenges we need to address. And lastly, we're working on a project about the properties surrounding our airports, looking at long-range planning around the airports. This is to ensure that any new construction doesn't have a negative impact on the operation or the viability of the airports. Those are a precious resource, and we need to protect those. So it doesn't apply to anything that's already built. This would apply to new construction, and we're going through that process right now.
And getting back to a couple of those items, you mentioned the Airbnb. Did the supervisors, that was approved to do a study then at Tuesday's meeting?
Yeah, we got direction from the board to go ahead and proceed with that. We're going to be doing some research on what other jurisdictions, so cities or counties, have done, what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. Again, the public can expect to hear about additional meetings that our housing development specialist, Tamara Blankenship, will be holding all across the county. So it's not just going to be in our visitor-serving areas up on the 108 and 120 corridor. We also want to hear from our residents that are at lower elevations. And then we'll be bringing a report back to the board, hopefully June or July, with some recommendations. But we really want to do the research and hear from our community. We not just want to make assumptions and bring back an informed report so the board can make some choices, if they want to, about moving forward with either regulating or not regulating short-term rentals.
Mentioned in Phoenix Lake, too, the vineyard and a tasting room going through the environmental review. Is that a lengthy environmental review process, or do you have any type of guesstimate on that?
We're waiting for some technical studies to be done out there. If you're familiar with the area, it's an area that's rich with cultural resources. And so it's important that the project moving forward is respectful of those. Also, we're looking at traffic. That's another concern that the community has raised. And so we want to make sure that we research those traffic impacts and mitigate them if necessary.
Got about a minute left on this weekend show. Anything else in your department of note that'd be worth mentioning to the community?
We're really busy. I do want to let the public know that we hired a new environmental health director. Her name is Deborah Larson. She has a career working in environmental health, brings lots of experience to our staff, and so we're very excited about that. We're also code compliance. We have a number of cleanups planned. We're working on some final legal paperwork, but very shortly you will see our teams out in the field, projects planned down in Jamestown. Also working on an ordinance the board passed called Clean and Clear, which is cleaning up areas around the county's critical infrastructure. I'll leave it with this, is that all of the individuals in our county that are involved in the development review process have been working together, doing an audit, understanding where the holdups are, where we can improve communication between ourselves and with the public. We're always focusing on a culture of continuous improvement, and we want to make sure that we are looking for ways not to just improve things to process faster, but also increase transparency and improve the customer experience.
Well, Quincy Yaley, we thank you for coming on today on Motherload Views.
Thanks for having me.
Again, we've been talking with Quincy Yaley. She is the Community Development Director for Tuolumne County, getting us up to speed on various projects going through the review process. Also, a major undertaking when it comes to zoning and efforts to streamline the review process, Title 17 project. And we thank her for joining us to get us to hear the latest on that effort. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.